2.
Welcome to Working Musicians, a feature of theworkingmusician.com. My name is Roger Z. I'm your host. I want to give a shout out to the people who are working with me today, Rita, Kim, Gary. I always know it's a hot show when Kim's dancing behind the camera. Okay? It's not that easy to get her moving. But once she moves, it's hard to get her to stop. Anyway, we got a terrific guest today, Tommy Blues Buddha.
That would be me.
That'd be you, and your...
I'd be the Buddha.
Scott Staton.
Scott Staton.
So you guys write the songs together?
Mm-hmm.
To make the whole world sing.
And you've got a band.
And we have a band. Yeah, he's in the band, and I'm the Buddha, and he's the band.
Okay. Who else is in your band? Name and instrument.
Name and instrument. We have Mike Garner on bass. We have Eddie Crucy on drums. And
Tony
Pagano. Yeah, we just changed guitars. So we have Tony Pagano playing guitar. And Charlie Scott sometimes will play guitar with us. So it's kind of, we're mixing and matching right now. Ronnie Miro was playing guitar with us, and now he's decided he wants to do some other stuff. So,
Ronnie's a great guitar player.
Great guitar. So are these other guys. Tony is amazing. We played him the other night. We did a gig up at 12 Grapes up in Peekskill, and he was amazing that night. Mm-hmm. It was a great show.
That's awesome. So you've been here before.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things I want to talk to you about is, now I first met you at the open mics. You were mm-hmm. kind of... always had wanted to sing, we're testing the waters, and now you put together a band, and things are going pretty well now. You're playing decent-sized clubs on the weekends,
mm-hmm.
you're getting called back, so they're kind of steady.
Right.
One of the things I think that you're doing that's very smart is that you're spreading the gigs out geographically so you don't cannibalize your audience.
Right.
You're in Soma in White Plains,
Peekskill, 12 Grapes, Mamaroneck, which is on the other side. We're going to be in Elmsford now with Pete's Saloon. And we were playing out in Long Island City at a place called Lucky Mojo. Yeah, that's strategic, actually.
And the last weekend you played?
In Georgetown Saloon.
Right, in Georgetown, Connecticut.
Yeah. Try to build a base of fans in different areas so we can, like, kind of have, like, you know, and kind of spread ourselves out so we don't burn ourselves out. So, like, if you're playing in a certain area over and over, people continually hear you, and then it's not good.
Club owners tell me they think a 6-week rotation works best for them.
To 8 weeks, I agree with that.
They find if they book you once a month that people, it's too much for them.
I've been doing once a month at the Soma 107, and that's been okay because it's new, and you know we have a bunch of people that I know from the area that come, and plus there's been steady returns from the people that they had, so I'm seeing the turnover. You know, I think 6 weeks is a pretty good time frame, because by the time I come back in 6 weeks, we've got about 3 or 4 more new songs, we've got a different... You know, we might have done something different to change the act a little bit, and it's evolving all the time when you do 6 to 8 weeks.
So, what is the future? I mean, you're a guy, we talked last show, you're a guy who does a good job of promoting, does put some thought into what you're doing, put mm-hmm. some thought into the act. You told me how you're adding a little more older rock and roll, like right. Elvis. But what are your future goals? What are the plans? What do you have? I know you're going into the studio.
Well, like, you know, like you said, when you met me a couple of years ago, I think it was a year and a half, whatever ago, I was making a lot of jams. I was playing. I wasn't playing like I'm playing today because I was traveling a lot with a job, and I was out of the state a lot. But now I'm steady here. So for like the last year, we've been put together a really good core band, solid guys, and what we're trying to do now is write our own material. Me and Scott have been working together writing material. We've written about 6 songs mm-hmm. so far. We're recording them right now. They should be done, completed. The whole project should be done middle of summer, by the end of the summer. And then we're going to, you know, we're going to promote that. We started promoting it already. Last year we sent over one of our tapes over to France. There's a
music conference in it's called Midem. It's in Cannes, France in January. And I hired a guy to rep my label. It's called Stupid Daddy Records. And I put a sampler together, and it was amazing. It, you know, it was the guy who I hired, he was traveling. He was up in Nova Scotia, and I had a very small window to get him a bunch of packages with promotional materials and a CD. And I sent it with plenty of time, and FedEx didn't get to it, didn't get it to him in time. He left. So I spoke with him in France, and he said, just put it up all on the MySpace page. So I finished the MySpace page very quickly, and within 2 or 3 days of just the exposure of him repping it in the dem, I got about 600 or 700 hits on the MySpace page in about 3 days. And most of them came from Europe. I get, you know, friends from
MySpace Blues Buddha.
No, that was under Stupid Daddy.
Oh,
he put it under Stupid Daddy Records because that's the that's where we're recording most of the material under. All the material under.
Well, France has always liked the blues. They've always had, especially rockabilly style blues.
So we're marketing. That's one of the things we've done. Now, you know, we're going to start. You know, I've started putting some sites up. I'm not only on MySpace. I'm on also on a space called Endora. I'm also on another space called, I can't remember it now, Mac3 or something. It's a new site. And a lot of networking of sending out the stuff that we're recording. And nothing that I've recorded in the past, like none of the copy stuff, only all the new stuff. And I'm trying to get my name out there in that world where people can hear us. And hopefully from that, we'll start to get bigger gigs, maybe some festival work. That's a hope.
Well, you tried to do some promotion with the Jazz and Blues Society.
Yeah.
And we're going to be playing in Key West in November, right, at a conference or it's a festival.
There's a festival, the 12 Step Sober Festival. They're hiring us to do, we're going to go down there in November and do a show down there. And we're networking all through that. They have a whole network of places that they're sending our music out to.
So what's your goal? Is your goal to break into radio? I mean, to have a top 40 hit, or what is your career path? What are you looking at?
Well, you know, I love playing live clubs. I love interaction with, you know, going out in the audience and having fun. But I also know realistically that, you know, in this business, you can't make a living doing that. It's just not possible. So what we're trying to do is create a brand. The Blues Buddha Band is actually a brand. And we're also creating a product that we feel is going to, and Stupid Daddy Records is a brand. And we're trying to create these two brands that people will recognize as, you know, and we'll be able to still play the clubs and do what we do, but maybe, hopefully, you know, make a living playing music. Because it's very difficult, as you know.
Play some concerts and play bigger venues.
Bigger venues.
The casinos, I think, are the way to go, in my mind. If you can put together a nice package, and you get into one casino, or the Hard Rock cafes. Right. If you get into the Hard Rock cafes, you can, let's say, go to Chicago, do a gig at their club, and piggyback that with another club in town.
Yeah. Well, they have in the South, I know a couple of people through my networking, you know, a lot of blues guys do play in the casinos. That's something that's happening. Up here, it's not as, you know, the blues funk stuff doesn't go as well. They like bigger bands and they like a different sound. It's harder to break, but it definitely is. It's on the table. That would be on the table for us too. Just trying to find ways to make money and have fun. Not being rich, just make a few bucks.
No. You know,
I get rich, maybe.
I watched this movie Five Easy Pieces with Jack Nicholson from the 70s, and they had this Chopin piece in it that's haunted me for like 40 years. So I finally went to the library, got the record with the piece on it, and then I looked up Chopin on Wikipedia. Mm-hmm. Musicians lead terrible lives. It's unbelievable. Chopin, every member of his family died of TB and consumption. And we don't know how lucky we are today. As much as we complain about healthcare, I mean, when I read about these guys, I was reading about Liszt, you know, because you read one article, you hit the links, and it was a tough life to make. Most of these guys made their money by giving expensive piano lessons to royalty. That's how they did it. And they wanted to get off the road, because at a certain age, you don't want to be traveling that much, especially in the 1800s or whenever it was. But anyway, so let's see you belt out some of your new tunes.
All right, sure.
Let's do give and take.
Give and take. I'll do that first. Okay.
Yeah. This is a song that I wrote this past year. I played at Mardi Gras in February, and I love the New Orleans style boogie woogie piano, so here we go.
Boogie woogie.
Hold on for a second. I just realized something.
Wrong key.
Here we go. Try it again.
That's the benefit of the live show.
Wrong piano.
Like I do.
This is a song that Tommy and I wrote a few weeks ago.
This is recent.
Yeah.
This is recent.
This is another like New Orleans kind of inspired.
Your tears. Nobody nobody gonna love you like I do. Nobody gonna feel like I do. Do all those things like I do. Hold you through the night. Make everything alright. Nobody gonna feel like I do. Alone. What we have is so strong, so strong. Nobody's gonna do you like I do.
Did you convince her?
Actually, I did. Yeah, she's still with me.
Awesome.
It's getting shaky, though.
So what else you got for us?
We do Better at Hello?
Better at Hello, yeah. Better at Hello. This is the song. This is the song about when you leave.
Right, I was just thinking if you're best at Hello, you got a problem.
You're gonna find my glory.
Nice job.
Thank you.
Blues Buddha.
Yeah, we're real excited about this stuff. That song, that particular song was another friend of ours, Denny.
Denny LaRue.
He's a gentleman that Scott played with for years, and they wrote a lot of stuff together.
I played with Denny with the Peter Duchin band for almost 20 years.
Now that's a moneymaker, Peter Duchin.
We played all over the place. It was a lot of fun.
And he has also shared some other tunes with us. We got two other tunes that we're recording with him that he has graciously handed over to us and gave us the tracks to use. So we've recorded the vocals for those already, and they're hot.
Mm-hmm.
They're totally different. Like, they're like, they're fun. They're like moving.
High energy rock tunes.
Yeah, high energy rock, bluesy. They're fun. We got Jeff Gans on bass on one of them. And who's the
Alan Childs?
Alan Childs on drums.
He played with Julian Lennon for a while and John Wayne.
Yeah. Very good. The tracks are hot.
Well, we're talking about some hot players, which brings me to one of our standard canned questions. Which Tommy? You finally made it. You're doing a night at the Garden, doing a tribute to you. Like they did with Dylan, like they did with George Harrison.
It's about time.
And who are you? Now, I know you're going to bring up the regular players in your band. Mm-hmm. But if you had the budget, and if you actually could reach out and bring back the dead, who would be up there with you?
The Funk Brothers.
Motown Funk Brothers.
I'd bring the Funk Brothers up. Because the Funk Brothers, you know, all the stuff that they did, you know, and all the hits that they made, you know, it's one band that made, forget about it. And the groove that they had and the feel that they had, I don't think anybody really can match what they did.
Very interesting. I was watching the Temptations TV movie, and they had the Funk Brothers. People don't realize, see, Motown was a singles factory.
Right.
So for every record they released, probably 50 that they vetted.
Right.
So I think that's a pretty good... I mean, nowadays they'll sign a band, and you go in, you do it. I don't think they do as much vetting. They may do the vetting when they sign you, you know, who they sign. But back then, they would have everybody sit in the studio, everyone in the company, and they'd all vote on it. Is it going to be a hit or not?
Right. Well, you know, when you think about a band, like, you know, and I thought about this because you asked this question before, and, you know, I could sit here and, like pick, like, a bunch of people, but you never know how a bunch of people will play together, but you damn sure know that the Funk Brothers are going to perform, and they're gonna knock it out, so...
Well, that's back. Set one, Tommy. That's set one. Who are you bringing for set two? Who's going to back you for set two?
Well, you know, again,
Cream.
I think Cream. You know, I was thinking, like, again, I always think about the different styles of music that I like, and a band that I loved live, and I thought about it today. It was Deep Purple. That band. Did you ever see Deep Purple live? They were an amazing act.
I think I might have.
Richie Blackmore, Ian Gillan, Roger. I mean, everybody was moving, and that's what I like. I would love to have, like, you know, they'd be just like Blackmore playing behind his back, moving around, and you know, and Gillan was like shaking his head with his hair flying. Well, I can't do that, but like, you know, but band was so high energy. I was just, you know, something like that.
So you'd like to be the lead singer for Deep Purple for a set.
For a set.
They're still on the road, you know. They're still together.
Yeah, but they've had so many changes and so many lawsuits that, you know, you have no idea. You know how many singers they've had?
Yeah, but you know what? You know how many ex-wives and kids they have? They'll be road dogs. I've got this commercial someone sent me in an email. And it starts with this heavy metal band, just really loud and really furious. And they come off and they go into the dressing room. And slowly they start to take some of their clothes off. Then the wigs come off. Then the support garments come off. And in the end, this group of five, like 70 or 80 year old women and men, walk out the stage exit. And everybody goes, "Where's the band?"
That's the Rolling Stones, isn't it?
But anyway, so you, Deep Purple, who else?
Yeah, I just think of that. You know, I was thinking of all these, again, because I like so many different types of music, You know, I can sit here and name about five or six different bands that I like. I like the Rolling Stones. I like their stuff too. You know, all the hits that they had and all the stuff that they did. You take that as an example. The Beatles. You know, who wouldn't want to play behind them or play with them? You know, how they influenced every one of us and changed all our lives.
Okay, so this is great. So you're bringing Deep Purple back. Yeah. You're bringing the Stones.
The Stones, the Beatles, the Animals. You know, I love the Animals.
Well, that guy, I think Eric Burdon,
he's still out there.
Yeah, he's trying to make a living.
He's one of those guys that really is out there banging. Matter of fact, he was supposed to play here last year. I was going to go see it, and he canceled because he had some trouble with it. You know, he had something with his allergies or something. He couldn't fly, and I was like really depressed because I just love to see him perform because to this day, he still puts a really high energy show on.
And he was in War as well.
War, yeah. Which we were talking about earlier, War. And you ever hear that the stuff that he did with War? I mean, like, the blues stuff? Oh, it's great. Amazing stuff. Amazing stuff.
Yeah, I've got one of the many double CD sets that...
Mitch Ryder.
Tobacco Road, they did a nice version of it. Mitch Ryder was awesome.
Detroit Wheels. That was a bad man. I'd love to...
He gave up. He freaked out. He gave up the music business, and he just got like a 9-to-5 job in a warehouse.
The original Motor City Madman, you know, he was the original. He was if you ever see him perform, he'd be like pure
sweat energy. Man. Well, the thing that is, my hometown supplied the guitar player for that band, so that was just like a hometown thing. Yeah, we know him. He played that great guitar lick.
Yeah. He was great, Mitch Ryder. So there's a few I raised from the dead.
That's awesome. So you're at Soma this Thursday and once a month.
Yeah, Soma. Right now, once a month. We're there on July 11th and we're June 9th. June 9th of July.
And the websites again?
It would be myspace.com/bluesbuddha. And the...
myspace.com/stupiddaddyrecords. S-T-O-O-P-I-D.
Stupid Daddy.
I think I'm friends with you on MySpace.
Uh-huh. Yeah,
I'm kind of a silent person on MySpace.
The Stupid Daddy Records is, you know, Scott's working with me, but he's also working with Curtis Winchester and a couple other guys.
Susan McMahon.
Want to thank you guys, and we'll see you.
Thank you.
We'll see you around town and back in
cool.
the studio.
Thank you.
Thanks, Roger.
All right, let's take it from the top. This time... I'm just joking.